Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not from the... G'day, punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are super excited to be previewing... Of course, the Turnbull Stakes. They call this moving day. I call Mackay Bidiva Stakes moving day. But nonetheless, this is where you either decide if you are a Caulfield Cup horse or a Cox Plate horse. And a few horses might be in that sort of cabinet this week. Also in Sydney, we've got the Metrop, the Epsom and the Flight Stakes. So three cracking group ones over there. But the racing only gets better and better over this next month.
How many times are we going to hear it's moving day over the next couple of days? My God,
but,
I'm looking forward
but
to
this
it.
Is officially moving day. That's what they call it anyway.
You're gonna hear that. And it'll be officially moving day. Not just moving day, it'll be officially moving day. I'm like supremely excited to bet on Saturday. I think it's a great betting meeting. The bets I've had I'm very excited about and very good meeting. So yes, looking forward to it. I'm gonna be there, I think. Are you?
100%. I've even got Marty's special tickets because I only get the bum ones because I'm not one of the high ups. So mine don't actually let me into the mounting yard and owner's area. But
oh, mine does. Mine do.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even. Yeah, please. I haven't even applied for a Victorian, like a VR. Media,
like
pass.
Media pass. Why not? That's
I don't know why I haven't done it yet, but I just haven't done it.
Are you dumb? Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
You can go anywhere.
Yeah. I probably should do that. How's your week been, mate?
It was a long day today. Yeah, same old. But it was a long day today. Thank God Laura Lafferty's okay. It was a scary fall.
Yeah.
She came off on a horse today, but yeah, luckily she was okay. It was a little bit scary, but...
So what's the update? She's been airlifted to hospital.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we haven't really gotten any updates. It's just for, like, confidential reasons. But at least we know that she's conscious and she's, you know... I don't want to say she's okay because she's not, but she's not, you know, it's not the worst case scenario, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, hopefully all is well there in the end. But yeah, it was a really scary fall and... You never want to see a fall at the best of times, but when you're on the leader and you've got so much incoming traffic, that's like potential for worst case scenario. So,
And then that
fingers
was
crossed.
I think you know, yeah, that was what made it was that's what made it more scary than anything. Like she was getting trodden by 500-kilogram animals.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that is the reality of
this great sport. It is the most dangerous sport in the world, I would say. Yeah, hopefully prayers that she pulls through and she's okay. MRC just literally about 10 minutes ago put out a media release.
Is this breaking news?
John Kanga, the controversial man.
Yeah.
The controversial man who wants the old Caulfield mounting yard back. He's not happy with the new Caulfield. And there were members of the board at the MRC who wanted to vote him off. All of a sudden, he is now the chairman of the MRC. So,
what a shit show. Like that is the most racing thing ever. Like, more specifically, the most MRC thing ever. Like, it's just, without getting too political, like, they haven't done a very good job the last couple of years. And that is the most MRC thing ever.
It is one of the great backflips you'll see in the matter of months. But I just feel like he's obviously convinced a lot of the board that what he is trying to do and trying to promote with the Save Caulfield, is it Save Caulfield or Save the MRC, whatever that campaign was that he started, and he's got a lot of them on board, and now they've gone, well, this is our leader. Mm. We've got to vote him in as a chairman. So very, very interesting sort of space that to play out there. And who knows? We could be going back to the old mounting yard as early as next week or the Caulfield Cup.
Really?
Who knows? He's been voted in as a chairman. He's going to make the decisions now, and that's what he wants. So very, very interesting.
Outstanding.
Pot's keen for that. Will, let's get to the races. Just firstly off the top, sorry, if you are new here for the first time, we thank you very much. That tweet I put out actually got a fair bit of traction. I think it's had about 14,000 views, and we got lots of new followers. We got lots of new followers just off the back of saying thank you to our existing followers. So that was really good. If you are new here for the first time, Will Alford, we call him the bot. He's very analytical and very smart with his tipping.
Don't know about that.
And I am the host, Ben Caluzzi. We've actually got Nick McGualter joining us back next week. So for all the Nico fans, he will be back. Sit tight. He'll be declaring morals. Some of them will be winning and some of them will be running last, but that's why we love him. Will, finally, let's get to the races. Flemington, the rail's out 9 metres. There is a bit of rain tomorrow night and, you know, sort of through Saturday. How do you think the track might play?
I think it'll be even. You know, rails out 9. It's typically pretty even, Flemington, when the rail goes out. No, Flemington's pretty even regardless of what rail position it is. There's no wind that, you know, is going to really affect anything. You know, it's not relevant. And obviously there's rain around. But again, it's Flemington. It's the best draining track in the world. So it's only really relevant unless you get rain on race day. So, like, you know, the rain we've got scheduled is sort of, you know, it's meant to come at like 4 o'clock. So, and it's only Thursday. So it might come at 11 o'clock. It might come at like 8 o'clock. So no one really knows. And I don't want to make any firm assumptions other than the track will race fair and every horse should get their chance. If, you know, with pace as, you know, the main influence into the results.
Yeah, hopefully that is the case. We are going to start in race 4. It is the Edward Manifold Stakes, 1600 metres, group 2 for the fillies. The favourite is the Clichy Boulevard, who's $2.30 being well backed. Take note, punters, she still is in the flight stakes at Randwick on Saturday with Nash Rawilla booked there, but the male is she's staying in Melbourne, so that'll be interesting. Wings of Desire is $4.60. Comanche Miss is $6.50. Cavity Bay, $10. And Killcare Beach Girl, $10. Interesting name. But I saw $8 for DeClichy Boulevard all in, and I wasn't sure where she was going to run. I thought there's a big chance she's going to be a dual acceptor, so I didn't take it. Am I spewing? Yes, but that's the all-in game we play.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you could do. She definitely has to be favourite. Backed her last time. That was a little bit sick, but we also backed the winner, so that's okay. Yeah, she gets a great run here. She probably gets the 1-1. I doubt there's, you know, I think that depends what the pace in this race is fully dependent on Kilcare Beach Girl, because she'll roll forward and she's a, she's from the family of some of my favorite horses. She's a half to Aberfeldy Boy and the other one, what's his name? Something Kid. Not Arkansas Kid, Something Kid. Anyway, horse that won the 2,000 meter race at Caulfield a couple of years ago. Good horses, like from a family of Tuesday Joy.
I know who you're speaking about.
Yeah, but like lots of Group 1 winners in that family. They all get over.
Castle Ray Kid.
That's it, Castle Ray Kid.
Bang. first winner.
Lots of good horses from that family. I think it'll roll forward. It's Gay, so it'll roll forward. Just depends how quick they really want to go. They could go slow, could go quickly, who knows. I think Delicious Boulevard is probably a little bit short at 235 is the best price now. It's probably the price has been well and truly knocked off. The three-quarter sister to Winx is racing here, Winx of Desire, so that's a little bit exciting. Ran really well at a second start, put up a good number there, and then the start after sort of, you know, didn't give it a, was a bit of a slaughter, really. Easily figure that run, but you know, you just get it about the market price. And I thought Cavity Bay was one that could improve. You know, that Wednesday form's stood up well. The rating's good there. She ran nice splits. But, you know, it's not a race I really want. There's enough good betting races on this card for me to just skip over this one and back them wherever they go next.
It is just worth noting with Wings of Desire, Equicast, first time. So maybe feet not all sweet. But a lot of the time that's just sort of precautionary. So maybe it's nothing to worry about. Look, Declichy Boulevard has to be on top. I am sort of really kicking myself that I didn't take $8 now all in. And I think $2.30 just looks a little bit too tight. She's clearly on top, but for the sake of a tip at the current prices, I know it was a low race last start, but Comanche Miss was huge against Dawn Service last start, who Dawn Service ended up starting favorite in the Group 2 Stutt Stakes. She came from a long way back in a race that was dominated nearer to the speed. And I put her in my black book after that and said 1,600 metres next start. Thank you very much. By Castle Vecchio, who obviously won. What did he win? Did he run second in a spring champion? He ran second in the Cox Plate to Lise Grisheur. So out and out, 2,000 metre plus sort of horse. I think that's the distance that she's looking for. And yeah, if I'm going to have a bet in this race at the current prices, you probably get maybe $7 plus. I'll probably have something small on her.
Yeah, I was against Comanche Miss. Thought she was just playing. I think she probably starts $10 or bigger. Jenny's Meadow's been at the gate early.
Meadow last up? Just to forgive, or she was pretty plain?
Just plain. I wouldn't touch her here. Too Darn Discreet was... Someone told me it was like as short as, like it was really short, like second favorite in the all in market. I've got a 30s. So yeah, not a race I'm going to be backing anything in. Like, I mean, I could, like if Kilcare Beach Girl gets out to like 18s, 20s, I could have some in small on it. But you know, I'm not really wanting to bet in this race.
Yeah. I wonder where that name came from, because that is one unusual name.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll worry about that another day and go straight to the Danehill Stakes, which is race 5. It's 1,100 metres. It's a Group 2, and it's for the three-year-olds. First Settler is our $3.90 favourite from Reserve Bank, $4.20. Bodyguards, $5. Tarpaulin is $7. Aniza, $10. And you're out to Savagery Vibe, $11. But the two Price Kent horses draw on opposite sides of each other. Obviously, First Settler was great last start, running second to Growing Empire. That form looks pretty good. He obviously did drop him at the 200, but that is still the best last start rating coming into this race.
Yeah, I mean, those two have got to be sort of one and two in betting. First Settler, obviously, you know, you can't just say, well, Growing Empire betting and look what he's done since, because he obviously elevated, but... That is a good form line to, you know, you get confidence in that rating at least. Like that rating's, it makes him favourite here, obviously. Bodyguard always looked like a horse that didn't prove at three. It's trialled well, I've noticed. But yeah, I this is a race that I just sort of, I don't think there's a whole lot between the lot of these, and I've gone looking and I've found a horse called Lofty Arch who won a maiden at Cranbourne a few weeks ago. It's a big horse, nice looking horse, ran fast time. I don't reckon there's a whole lot between the lot of these, and I think, you know, I took 50s yesterday. It's as short as 21 now, but I'd still like, I wouldn't tell you not to back it at 20s. I'm not sure what the market's going to do with it. It's one of those ones, like it could go either way. Like I'm not going to tell you which way it's going to go and be completely firm, and I've got no idea. But I'm happy with where I'm at, and I'm also, I haven't backed it, but I've noticed that it's into $12 now. Savagery Vibe ran really fast time as well, and the Nick Ryan camp backed the absolute shite out of it on debut, so it must be pretty good because they're a betting stable. So I hopefully it gets back out, but I doubt it will. So I'll just let that one go by. I'll just let the. I thought Reserve Bank looked short. Like it was a good win at wherever it was in a 64, but it beat 58ers and like what did it in good enough time, and it was a fair margin, but. Yeah, like I couldn't have it. What price is it? It's like $5, isn't it? Like $5.50. Oh, $4.80. $4.80 is, yeah, leave me out of that. And First Settlers, you know, probably about its right price. So I'm happy with Lofty Arch just having a small bet on it and moving on to the next race.
Sweet. After a $41 last week, you're straight into a $51 tip this week. Yeah. Hopefully it is another winner.
Who's Kingswood? Who is Kingswood?
He's in the rearview mirror now.
Who cares?
I've backed three horses in this race. Shock horror. I had backed another one. We took $11 for Hayasugi all in after Clint McDonald said, yep, we're definitely accepting. We're just going to see, wait until race day to see if we'll take our part, but definitely accepting. And then Wednesday morning acceptances come out and they haven't accepted. So that was a real kick in the guts. $11 into $3.40 favorite in the all-in market. I would suspect that maybe there's a little issue if they didn't at least accept a day after he said he was going to. So just take note there, punters, but we might expect to see her next week at Caulfield. First Settler, I've backed at $5.50. He's clearly the testing material here. He ran to 94.3 last week when second, not last week, 2 weeks ago, when second to Growing Empire. That's even longer than 2 weeks. It's a month ago now. I love his straight track form. I love the fact he's handled soft tracks. And I just think he's clearly the one to beat. I was all over Reserve Bank last start, but it's coming off the most pedestrian tempos and just sprinted hard late over, 1,000 meters last start. And just don't know if that's exactly form. I think he's a little bit short. I've also backed Tarpaulin, the Godolphin horse at $15. If you just forgive its last start performance, which no doubt was disappointing, he actually has the peak rating in this race. So I know he's Godolphin deep in the prep, but I think I'm on him at a decent enough price. And I've backed your one as well, bought at 50-1. So give us strength there and hopefully we can land the spoils. Sweet. Race six is the Paris Lane. 1,400-meter listed race for the four-year-old plus horses and probably the most exciting horse or maybe the most anticipated horse of the day comes up in number one, Royal Champion. He carries 61 kilos. He's $4.60 favorite from Jigsaw, $6.50, Plenty of Ammo, $6.50, Von Hawk, $7.50, and It's Our Time and Aaron Bay locked in at $8.
He's, you look through this horse's form and it's, you see Buckaroo in there, you see Versus there, and there's some familiar names that are going around in the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes later on today, on Saturday. This is a horse that's got big time form ratings. It's rated 121 time form. That's a big number if that number doesn't make any sense to you. So, this horse like beat Buckaroo by two lengths at Royal Ascot last year. It's a very good horse. The question is, how forward is it first up over? It's off a year and it is going to carry 61 kilos. So drawn barrier 10, it's probably going to go back at, if this horse is $4.80 or $5 into $3.50 in the last sort of 3 minutes in betting, it's just going to win by five lengths, and it's that simple. But it's not a bet I want to have early, and it's one that makes me uncomfortable enough to pass over the race. If I was going to have a bet in this race, I thought Aaron Bay could improve sharply. I also thought Von Hawk could improve. Even a horse like Macran, like he can, you know, he knocked off Jimmy Starr first up last stop. He can run a race, you know, he does it once every 15 starts, but he can run a big number on his day. So, you know, those are the, I'm not going to bet in anything in this race. I sort of contemplated backing the favorite purely because Jigsaw's second favorite at 650.
What is it doing here at 650?
What is that at 1400 meters first up? Like, that is a complete moral to be out the gate throughout the week. But not a race I'm interested in. I mean, I'm interested in it, but not from a betting perspective. I hope the favorite is a good winner of the race, but not one I'm betting in. Too much uncertainty.
Yeah, it's probably not a betting race for me because, as you said, Royal Champion, first up 1,400 metres. He's not a 1,400-metre horse. His peak ratings do come over that 2,000. If he wins here or runs really well, he's going to the Crystal Mile on Cox Plate Day. Then he either goes to a Champions Mile or Champion Stakes, wait for age, on the final day of the Flemington Carnival. So for mine, it's just a watch race. I mean, plenty of ammo. Well, she's got plenty of talent. And Von Hawk, you know, he beat Amenable over 1,400 metres last preparation in a Group 3. That rated really well, and he's only going to improve at a more suitable tempo, 1,400 metres at a track he likes, Flemington, and Aaron Bay. Well, he's a horse I just simply can't catch, so I'm happy just to shoulder arms here.
Fair enough, yeah. So it's an easy race to just watch and see what happens, but, yeah.
Yep.
It's a good race nonetheless.
Yep. Let's get to the quaddie. The Bart Cummings, Group 3, 2,520 metres, Berkshire Breeze, draws barrier 2. Surely this time they use the gate and go forward. He's $4 from Point King 550. Already has his place in the cup, so worth noting. St. George's 650, mostly cloudy, $9. And Man's Oyst, $10.
Yeah, this is I'm just like, This is one of those ones, like, on ratings I make it 280, and it's one of those ones that just ticks all the boxes. Like, I'm super comfy that this is 280 and I could make it shorter if I really wanted to. Berkshire Breeze, just what a fucking bet. Like, it's been backed early. Like, it's been 550 and 440, but, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, 440's around, just take it. Like, this is going to start with a 3 in front of it. You know, the 2,500 meter start, it's a very tricky start. And it's like, you see it every year with the Derby. So the horse is drawn wide. You've got about 100 meters to make a decision. And lots of them make decisions before they even jump, really. But so the horse that people will, you know, like the St. George is here and he's a nice horse, but he's drawn 19. There's absolutely no chance it's going forward. It's going to go all the way back. It'll be 10 lengths off it. Berkshire Breeze, I reckon, will probably sit in the box seat. And the other main danger, like, not that this really matters, like, it's just narrative, but Point King's already got a slot in the cup. I think what happened last time was they didn't want to win there, so they snicked it. And they knew exactly what they were doing. I was complaining about the tactics last time, but it makes sense now because they get in, this is the golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup, and that I'm pretty sure they don't cop a penalty because the weights are already out. Is that right?
No, you still can cop a penalty.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, anyway, I think he will push forward here, and, you know, the market's got a great opinion of this horse. I just think he just deserves to be completely favourite. Over this slot, like 280 is my price. You know, there's just not a lot here. You know, like, very easy. I'll definitely have something on my boy El Butagon too.
El Cherigon.
Yeah, El Cherigon. Yeah,
El Butagonski.
El Butagon. Yeah, he was way too far back in whatever race he was in last time. And he did too much in the mid stages and blew up late. But I'll have something on him, but I am stupidly keen on Berkshire Breeze or Berkshire Breeze. And I think it'll win. I just think it'll win. I'm so keen on it.
Donate to a charity you love rather than betting on Al Botta gone.
I'm too sick to do that.
The thing that is interesting with St. George, he's drawn 19 and he doesn't have a whole lot of speed. Who's the man that they've put on board? Declan Bates, probably one of the best front-running jockeys in Australia, if not the best. Probably Tim Clark is probably number one, but that's the only thing in my mind, whether they do try and roll the dice and go forward. But I don't know. I am with Berkshire Breeze. I was with him last start as my on-top selection. Had something on Point King as well at the early all-in grass, but Berkshire Breeze, you know, if you just plug in some of his other ratings before last start. All the expected rating. Down on 54 kilos, and he's going to map beautifully from barrier two. Then, yeah, I can see why Bot has him so short. I've taken $4.80. I didn't quite get the $5.50 that Bot was able to secure, but, yeah, he just looks so, so well in here, and there's so much intent to get him his Melbourne Cup berth, and I'm on him at 60 to 1 in the Cup, so God bless him. Hopefully he can get the job done here and give him strength. Mostly cloudy, will run well. He only knows how to run well, but again, another one, barrier 14. It's just yuck. It's just yuck. Simple as that.
Mm.
All right. The Tab Turnbull. 2,000 meter group on 4-year-old plus. This is a set weights and penalties race. So take note there. If you see some of the weird weights and you're not sure why, it's because it's set weights and penalties. Buckaroo is the $4.20 favorite. Would you believe that, Bot? Via Sistine is $4.60. Alias, $5. Young Werther, $9. Wow. Warmonger, $12. And a Tissue, $13. Mm. Firstly, let's give you this a bit of justice and do just a really, really quick sort of speed map. Alias drawn the outside in 16. You would think, although he's on a Caulfield Cup path, they still want to be positive. So I think he rolls across with Bois d'Argent, and Duke de Cessa is probably the other main leader. So how do you think the race pace might be? Because obviously they've either got a Caulfield Cup in 2 weeks, which most of them would, or a Cox Plate in 3 weeks. So some people think this is going to go fast. I don't think it's going to go quite as fast as some people think.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of horses here that are sort of, they're not like designated leaders. Like the connections won't, you know, they're not horses that just lead, you know. So, like, maybe other than Alias and Bois d'Argent, who are both drawn wide, so maybe that could sort of force some pace. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it could go either way. Like, I go broke trying to figure out the pace of these sorts of races. All I really care about is how the fuck is Buckaroo shorter than Sistina? Like, oh my god, what are we doing here? Like, well, I just don't like it. She's third up. Yes, she was bad last time, but we know she's good. Everyone knows she's good. There is no doubt in anyone's mind that she's a very good racehorse. And last time, you know, that she was racing, they went quickly on a heavy track. She was second up off a slowly run race off 1400 meters. Like, it's just, you know, it's an easy race to forgive. We've got so many different data points. You can go off her overseas form. You can go off her form here. You got the what the market's expecting her to do. You got what the market's expecting her to do. She's fucking odds on here. I'm not doing that, but she's, you know, Buckaroo was awesome last time. But even that, like, he sort of got the perfect run into it. He was three wide running line. The pace sort of melted, and I just think it's a ridiculously good bet. It's an easy race to just forgive last time, you know. It's, yeah, she's third up. It's just, I don't understand how she's not favorite. I mean, like, I was sort of thinking she'd go up 250. Like, and like, I'm not a price fucking setter or anything, but, you know, just like just who she is. Like, you know, these sorts of horses should go up 250 and then slowly edge their way out. But, yeah, they're betting 480 now. Like, jeez. you know, the horse this good and what the market has expected her to do, like they backed her to run 108, 109 in the fucking QE. And the way she ran, she probably would have won it, run if, like, she wasn't ridden incompetently. But, yeah, the track would be fine. Like, people are blowing up about, like, the heavy track. And then that might have been the reason last time. But I think, like, just heavy tracks and stuff, like, it's more situation-based. Like, you got a horse running first and second up on a heavy track. It's completely different to a horse running, you know, hard fit seventh up on a heavy track. It's all situation-based. It's not black and white. So, you know, she's had the run on it. Even if it is heavy, it's not going to be heavy. But if it's soft, you know, she's trained by Chris Waller. I go on about Chris Waller. He's not a good tactician. He's a good conditioner of horses, though. He'll have this horse fit. Damien Land's going to put it in a spot. It'll be 2-3 wide running line. And if it's not beating this horse, then just send it to the barn. Like, whack. What are we doing here? It's like,
bang.
Buckaroo is fake. Like, I think Buckaroo probably wins the Caulfield Cup. But fuck, if VSS, I think VSS is probably favourite when the Cox. Oh, no, not really. I think Prognosis or Broadsiding are. But she's in the market to win a Cox Plate. If you forget last time, it's just the easiest bet ever. And it's a good enough price to just forget that and bet.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Also, I think just one more. Sorry, a tissue at 2,000. That you know, Mark Zara on from Gate 5. Like, I could see her being the blower, and I'll definitely have something on the tissue.
Yeah. I'll start by saying, 6 day we have backed the 4. We've got Via Sestina all in. I was actually able to get $7, and then I've backed her again at $5 in the all in. Probably. Almost when market's sort of open. We've got a bet on Buckaroo at $8. We've got Huetor at 40-1, and I think $11 a place, and we've also got a tissue at $17. That said, Via Sestina is clearly our best result. We've made it a 6-unit play all up. I've been saying for a long time that this is the best bet of the entire spring. And I guess my confidence has been tempered a tiny bit off last start and the fact that we might get some rain on Saturday, but I just think the market is way too reliant on last start performances. I mean, what happened to forgiving a good horse one bad run? Everyone wanted to put the sword through Prodigy after her first up run in the Memsie, and she had excuses. She got out to $11 all in for the Maccabi Diva Stakes. It almost came off. For the people who took $11 for Prodigy after she failed first up, it almost came off. If she didn't strike a wet track, she probably wins that Maccabi Diva. Now we get an incredible price for Via Sestina, who ran to 103.8 when winning first up in a Randwick in Australia, then started a $1.85 favourite in the Queen Elizabeth. She started $2.50 against our very best milers last start, Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny. And now you get close to $5 against the Caulfield Cup horses. You just don't think. You have a bet. You forgive her for what she did last start. She went from an ultra slowly run race over 1400 meters first up, where she out sprinted Fangirl, to last start where it was just a ridiculous tempo set by Prodigy, wet track, and she just didn't handle it. If you're worried about her going the Melbourne way, like, if that's the only thing you're worried about, then I think you just bet as well, because
that's just not a thing. Like, it's just not a thing, honestly.
I don't think it's a thing either. Like, we're about to find out, but yeah, I think she should be taking up more percentage. Buckaroo is still the danger, deserves to be second favourite.
Oh, 100%. He was.
What do you reckon? Awesome. He goes to a Caulfield Cup, doesn't he? 54.5 kilos.
Well, I mean, surely. Like, Chris Waller's taken Francesco Guardi to the Turnbull and not the Bart Cummings, so I wouldn't bank sick on him making like the right decision. He's got no idea. Or whoever's doing his no offense. It should win the Caulfield Cup. Like if it's there. It shouldn't win it, but it, like, it's gotta be favourite based on the Underwood. And if it runs well here, it'd be favourite in the Caulfield Cup.
It is worth noting he was gelded before this preparation. So that is
worth gelding. Yeah. I mean, like, he sort of, that's why I sort of told people to back him in Sydney that day, is because he'd never been put in a scenario where he was ever suited. And when he was suited, he won an Underwood by 3.5 lengths. So,
yeah.
He's a good horse.
It still feels like everything did go his way last start.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, I don't know. He feels just a little bit short at the moment. Alias feels super short.
It's just fine, 2.0.
Is like it's very much helped. It's very much helped that this is not weight for age, so gets him with 56.5 rather than carrying the full 59. So that's definitely a help, the set weights and penalties. But like seriously, what's Young Werther doing here at $9? Like this is a horse you want to back.
He was good last time, but yeah,
not $9.
I love Young Werther, but yeah, fucking hell. You know, like you'll hear it all week. Like people will come up with like these the most articulate reasons as to why V Sustainer should be favorite or what why she shouldn't like. There is no articulation here. She has to be favorite to beat Buckaroo Alias and the rest of them. Like there is no articulation. There is nothing special to say. She just has to be favorite to beat them. Like it is as simple as that. Yeah. Like you're framing a market. I just don't see how you can have her not favorite to beat them.
I think Atisha will improve a lot. She might still be one run away, but her 2,000-meter form at Flemington is good. 2,000 metres is definitely her best distance, and she always improves from the mile. So
yeah,
she's definitely one that goes in the quaddy. And Huetor, if he can run a place for us, I thought he was enormous first up in the Underwood. I know,
yeah, so did I.
I know he like, sort of picked up the pieces late, which both of them did, and he's run on into second where everything was, you know, sort of just falling over, but still he's a horse who usually improves into the preparation as well.
Yeah, he was first up there, like he can improve, but you know, or was he second up actually? I think
no, he was first up.
No, okay, he was good, yeah, but you know, I wouldn't back him.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to race 9, the Gilguy group 2 1200 meters. This race gave me a fair dinkum headache. Magic Time is 5.50, equal favorite with I Am Unstoppable. Sharipa, $7. Arkansas Kid hit with a shit stick, I said on during the week on Twitter. 59 kilos after carrying 53.5 last start in the Bobby Lewis. Right to Party, $7.50. Stretton Angel, $9. And Johnny Rocker, also $9. You betting here?
Nah, I wanted to be on... Well, I didn't really want to, but like in hindsight, I should have backed I'm Unstoppable with the early price. But I didn't. But like now looking back on it and it's $6, I wish I did. But Magic Time, you know, that's probably about the right price. It probably gets out to $6. I don't know. Not a race I really want to be involved in. Tricky, very tricky race. I think they're going to go to Warwick Farm with I Am Unstoppable and a Benchmark 100 over this. They've booked J-Mac, which would make no sense. Which would make no sense because it's a stallion, and this is a Group 2 race, and it's not a very strong one at that. So, but the thing with I'm Unstoppable is that it's a fair trainer stable switch. It's gone from Kenner Wells, and like no disrespect to Kenner Wells, but it's gone to Kirima, so that's a fair switch. So they might be able to improve it. Like you know, it started like second or third favorite to Imperatrice first up last prep in the Lightning, I'm pretty sure. So. Yeah, no, I'm not betting though.
Yep. If it's not too wet, I'm probably going to back the two mares that I backed last start, and they are Right to Party and Stretton Angel. Right to Party, she ran really well behind Arkansas Kid last start. It is worth noting she started $3.50 favorite, so the market had her going to a really good level. It was that heavy track. I don't think she really loved it. She draws beautifully in Barrier 9. You can sort of get $8 around. That's what they're shopping at the moment. So, you know, she's a very consistent horse who was on that real upward trajectory and she loves the Flemington Straight. So with an improving surface, hopefully, you know, if the rain comes then I'll probably temper my confidence, but I think she can get back to something, what she was doing prior, and that makes her a bet. And Stretton Angel, she's another one I think you just forgive in the wet. If you plug in her rating that she ran in behind Benedetta in the Goodwood, that makes her incredibly hard to beat, and she's drawn low, so that could either be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm pretty happy to take on Magic Time here with a 58 kilos drawn one first up. Like she's surely targeting a race like the Rupert Clark, which she won at the end of the carnival last year. And yeah, I don't know if she's going to be fully wound up here first up at 1200.
Sweet. Yeah, Right to Party can improve. It was off like 40 days last time, so
yeah,
can improve.
Sweet. Last race, Rosa Kingston, 1400 meter, group two for the mares. Skybird, $3.90 after drawing barrier 16, surely going back. Revolutionary misses into $5.50. Poifect, $7. Miss Aria, $7.50. Running by, $9. And Road to Arataki, $12.
Yes, I am very keen on... Oh, I've backed Revolutionary Miss, and I think it should be favourite over Skybird, who will be going back from gate 18. You know, probably finds a three-wide running line. It's not the worst thing in the world, but I just think Revolutionary Miss has the map advantage over it. And, you know, I think overall it's probably a... I mean, it's maybe not it's the better horse, but maybe it's not a better horse, but it's, you know... I think it's very well set up to run to its peak, Revolutionary Miss, and I don't think Skybird is... You know, she was awesome first up. She ran a peak, ran massive splits, but I don't want to be with her based on where she will be from the map position. I think she will get out. I really wouldn't be surprised if Revolutionary Miss starts favourite. The market wanted to be with her first up. It was, you know, a big go, heavily backed, and it can settle forward from gate four with Mark Zara on. He has a great affinity with her. They win a lot of the time. I remember trying to take her on last spring and, you know, just because she kept getting the PR, like, you know, but she's just tactically versatile and she can just get up there and be in the right spot. So she's a horse I want to be on. I think she's more like a $4.50 chance. So I'm on it. And there's a couple actually in this race. What am I thinking?
Remember the day that Mark Zara just bulldozed everyone out of the way at Flemington on Rev Miss?
And oh, thank split God the gap, he did. Yeah,
that put was his elbows up and said, oh, I'm winning.
One
I'm
of my favourite wins, that one. Yeah, I had a good go at it that day. What was it? A horse that started favourite over her, and like I told you if she was going to be leaders back, and she'd always been last, but she settled leaders back, and it was a good feeling, that one. I think Anahita ran good splits. Fortunate Kiss was really good last time, ran nice splits in the wet track, and you know she finished alongside that horse we backed last week for the Stephen Brown Yard that got beaten by Anna something, the WA horse. I can't remember their names.
Elsafina.
Yes, the horse that ran second, Elsafina, finished alongside her last time, ran nice splits. It, you know, at its absolute best, it's thereabouts in this. Molly Knickers is one I can have something on at 40-1. Nice enough horse. And Foxy Cleopatra, I don't really want to back it, but my computer's telling me to, so I'll probably let that one go by.
I'm agreeing with you, actually. Revolutionary Miss, she was actually in the inferior sort of going last start when Kundalini came home down the outside, nabbed her and a little deep. 1,200 metres is short of her best distance. 1,400 metres is good here. This is a tracking trip she absolutely loves. Elbows up Zara, so you know if he's going to be in the box seat or if he's going to be needing a gap, he's going to shoulder his way clear. He's just the best in Melbourne at doing that. Nash is probably the best in Sydney at doing it. I just think she should probably be favourite. Adam Blanco speaks of STIs, and that's probably what Skybird is going to get from that outside draw. She's going to be back a very, very long way, and Rev Miss is just going to be right there behind the speed. So, yeah, I thought she was excellent first up at Caulfield, and the only way is up. Sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
Anything else?
Is there,
what about Moby Dick just so quickly? I mean, this is going to be one of the most popular favourites on the day. Race one, $2.20. We kicked for not backing it last start.
Oh, but what an embarrassment. Just genuinely embarrassing. Anyway, yeah, people, you know, it's the only real horse that, I think you can have, can you? I don't know. This is the only like short favorite you can, you know, this is very clearly, very, very, very clearly favorite. And maybe in the rest of the card, there's at least in every race, there's some sort of discussion of whether who should be favorite. This one's like, this is obviously favorite. And it has an edge over its field, but there was a big headwind that day at Flemington at one first up, and you know it's a good horse, 100%. But
I think it maybe got a nice sort of run in transit relative to the horses that were up on speed, going at a decent pace up into the strong headwind. Not a horse I want to be touching at all at 225, but it'll be popular 100%. It'll be in the multis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably not a horse I want to launch into at that price early on in the day. Second up off a bit of a PR, but nonetheless, it might end up getting me depending on the price.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over to Sydney Botter. We're going to Royal Randwick, where the rail is out 3 metres. Hot weather over there. Wouldn't it be nice to just have that Sydney weather down here? We are very
envious. It was a nice day today.
It was a nice day today. It's going to be horrible tomorrow.
How is it?
It's going to be 10 mils of rain. Come to the valley and get wet. Beautiful.
Wow, that's an interesting sentence.
Well, I probably should have thought about that before I said it.
Anyway, moving on. What race are we doing?
We'll go to disco after. You know, the old lounge there. Beautiful.
Be pissing down in the fucking... Yeah, anyway, moving on. Race 6.
All right, race 6 is where we're going to start. I don't have any thoughts on the track exactly, but we know... Actually, we don't really know because these tracks have been playing a little bit up and down. Randwick, when the rail is either true or only out 3, it usually plays pretty fair. It can be fence off, but if the track is hard and fast, it can also be leaders. So I think the great thing about Sydney is... PVL just puts the shittest races on ever for the first couple, and you get to actually see how the track is playing. So that's the good thing. I just want to go back to actually, I've just noticed that I do have a bet in race 2. The Breeders' Plate, race 2, I'm backing number 5, North England. This is obviously for the debutants. This is the Colts and Geldings. This horse is trained by Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, which all the three favourites are, but I thought his trial was the most impressive of any of them. He draws barrier 2 for Tim Clark. He's going to lead this race. The best front-running jockey in Australia, as I said, and just go back and watch this horse's trial. You can just tell he's very good. He's by a Golden Slipper winner in Farnham. He actually had a bit of pressure on him in that trial and he just exploded at the 400, dropped the second horse and was throttled down late. So although the time wasn't the fastest of the morning, I think he still had plenty up the sleeve and I'm shocked he's not favourite. I would mark him sort of $3.20 and he's currently $4.20, $4.40. So I think it is a race between the two China Horse Club horses in North England and Tuscany. Tuscany was good. But I think he's going to be chasing us from a long way out. And Tim Clark, we know that rail is just worth lengths with these two-year-olds. They can just follow that rail. It's exactly what he did in his trial. And I think he might just skip away and be too good over 1,000 metres. I think he's just the here and now.
All right. Sick stuff.
No, good bet. Good bet. Race 6 is the Flight Stakes. 1,600 metres, group 1 for the three-year-old fillies. Autumn Glow, $1.50. Lady Shenandoah is the stablemate, $6. Snow in May, $7. Lazura, $11. And Declichy Boulevard, $18. Dual accepted, as mentioned. Will, this is for Group 1 win number 100 for J-Mac. Is it a royal procession?
Well, you know, he's a lot more likely to win than not win on this horse because it's, you know.
Thanks.
I kind of think $1.50, like, you know, no one's actually, I mean, like, unless you're fucking some of the big guys, you're not, unless you're putting it in a multi or something, but no one's actually going to launch into this thing at that sort of price. But she probably wins a little bit more than what the market's saying now. I'll be surprised if she starts like $1.40. She's a really good horse. I think she'll probably lead, really. Like she probably just leads. She showed gate speed last time. She out sprinted them and I don't think sprinting's her go. So what they should do, they won't do it. What they should do though is just make it an absolute test over a mile and she'll kick their faces in. But they'll probably sit and sprint. And that's the only really way I think she can be beaten is just for a turn of foot. Snow in May, you know, she draws barrier 7, which is not ideal. You know, if she was going to be the one to beat the favorite. It'd be if she sort of could just be next to her or one off her, but she's probably going to be last, and that's awkward. So, Autumn Glow is probably, you know, she's a deserving favorite, and you could if you really wanted to, you know, technically speaking, I think she probably should be a little bit shorter than what she is.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at her ratings profile and there's not one rating that she's posted so far that wouldn't win this race. And those are at 1,300 metres and 1,400 metres. So everything screams a mile with her. She was good last start. Like, she was excellent. But, you know, a lot of people probably see that win and go, she only won by a length, and Snow and May sort of missed the start and was closing off late. Well, I think out to 1,600 metres, she's by the Autumn Sun. She's just got – I think she's just going to have panels on this lot, and she's just got the engine to go. As you said, a lot of mappers are actually going to have her leading this race because there doesn't look a whole lot of speed. And if J-Mac can just start to increase the tempo from the 600 to the 500, just slowly but surely work through his gears, then we might really see something special. We're on at $2.30 in the all-in market, so we're on a cracking price there at the 6-day, and we've also backed Lady Shenandoah at $15. It is worth noting that Lady Shenandoah beat home Mayfair, who ended up running third in the Golden Rose, so there's a bit of a form line there, and I do think she'll be better at 1,600 metres, even though she's not as impeccably bred as her star stable mate. I do think those are the two. Snow and May, as good as she was last start, I don't know. I don't know if she gives me mile vibes. That it?
Yeah. Snow, I just want to... Snow and May is a really nice horse. It's just unfortunate she's drawn wide.
Yeah. Just take note, because a lot of these horses, well, not a lot, but some of these might actually want to continue on the preparation and go to the 1,000 Guineas, which is at the end of the Melbourne Carnival. So just make sure you've got that in the back of your mind if you see any slashing seconds. All right, the Premier Stakes, Group 2, 1,200 metres, Giga Kick, $2.40 from Ballonipatina, $2.80. Think About It, $4. Marzu, $7. And Airman, way out to Airman, actually, at $34. Well, this is the best bet of the day in Sydney. It's not Giga Kick, it's Ballonipatina. She is a marvel of consistency. You look at her ratings profile and the line barely moves. Yeah, it barely moves over the last sort of 10 starts. She was awesome last start, running to 102.5 in behind IME. She ran incredible late splits. She went past Giga Kick like he was absolutely standing still, dropped him, and now he opens favorite over her after trialing well against nobodies. I don't understand it. I've had a good bet on Ballonipatina at $3, and I actually think there is more intent for Ballonipatina to win this than Giga Kick. Giga Kick's slot was announced today, and obviously Clayton, he's going to be fitter, and you would expect he runs better than last start, but his slot was announced today. He's in the Everest, so everything is geared towards another 2 weeks' time. The thing that I haven't heard anyone speak about so far is that Ballonipatina is still going for this Sydney sprint bonus. So there's every reason for her to want to win this race, because there is millions online. I think it's a $7 million bonus. The winner doesn't take home the full seven mil. And IME is on 10 points. Ballonipatina is only on 4 points. So she wants that sprint prize, no doubt about it. Think About It. He draws 7 of 7. He's probably going to go forward, but where is he at? I'm not exactly sure. The Godolphin horse in the last Corniche sort of went straight past him in a recent trial. So I think he's probably maybe a little bit short at $4. I just think Ballonipatina, everything points towards her. This is only a small field, dry track, soft track, doesn't matter. Out to 1,200 metres, perfect. Meets him at weight for age after carrying more weight last start. This is put in takeout, bot. Moral.
I don't know about that, but she definitely deserves to be favourite over Giga Kick. Like, you know, she's massively consistent.
she's a horse that you can, you know, you know what you're going to get from her, and the same can't be said about Giga Kick, who's, you know, he's coming off a year-long injury break, year and a half or even, I think, you know, it's probably fair to say that he might never reach the levels that he had in the past. So, yeah.
Absolutely, that's fair to say.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be surprised me at all if he never gets anywhere near his best again. So, which is a little bit disappointing, but, you know, that's horse racing. But, you know, she comes here set to run the number she always does, and he's got to jump that bar and get to that level. So, she definitely deserves your favorite, and she should be probably 250, 240 even.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Giga Kick needs to improve four lengths off last start, and she only needs to hold her form, and you're getting a significant edge in betting. I mean, it's just a no-brainer for mine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, think about it as well. Like, he was bad last preparation, but they tried something new with him. It's easy to forgive if he gets it back to his absolute best. But even still, like, it's quite, you know, it's a cute narrative to say it was the trips they ran him over. It might have just been, you know, he hasn't quite come up as well, or, you know, there's lots of different reasons why he might have not raced as well last preparation, and that could just be him now. He might not be anywhere near as good, and Marzu's sort of, you know, Marzu. He's going to run his number. Probably not good enough to win, but, you know, yeah.
I mean, I would think about it, like, he went on that incredible streak, and the thing with a lot of his wins, though, he was getting PR every time. Just a PR, and PR, PR.
And that's what I always sort of thought about him. Like, he just sort of got the right run, and, like, you know, he was able to do that. But, yeah, I always sort of had a query on him, just in the way. And it's hard to have a query on him because he kept winning, but he just sort of, he was always in the right spot, always. Yeah. And a lot of the time that the paces weren't true tests, they were quite slow, and I don't know.
Yeah, just go back and watch his Stradbroke win, his Everest win. Like, he just finds the 1-1, peels out at the right time, and drops him. I mean, Marzu and Cold Crusher are going to be 1-2 in the run here, and he's drawn 7 of 7, and he wants to go forward. You've got horses like Giga Kick trying to kick up underneath. There's a chance the map here is actually trickier than first thought as well.
Mm. Yep.
All right, Bella Nipotina, best of the day for mine. The Metrop is race 8, handicap, group 1, 2,400 metres. The favourite is Elias at $1.80. Wait, no, it's not. Fuck.
Yeah, what is it not doing yet?
Shit. Another one bites the dust. $7 in the all-in market, and it goes down as a loss because they weren't the week of nominations. But anyway, that's the great game we play. Unusual Legacies, $6. Land Legend, $7. Future History, $9. Zardozi, Gornski's, $9.50. Etna Rosso, $9.50. First Light, $10. Serpentine, $11. And K Tempesta, $16. What's your initial thoughts here, Bob?
Mate, I've got no idea. I have no idea. Not, all right. I'll just pass it straight to you.
This is a genuine dart job. So I'm just going to go through my few bets, and, you know, if you like them, then jump on board. The first bet we've had is Land Legend at $18. This horse ran to 100.8 when winning the St. Ledger. That was first up in Australia. He's just looking for more ground now. I thought he's improved a lot last start behind Elias. I know he was beaten 5 lengths, but I thought he was still really, really solid. And this is not a horse who's going to be competitive over 2,000 metres early in the prep. He needs ground. That peak rating came over 2,600 metres. You know, back home, all his form is over a mile and a half. So I think he just about deserves to be favourite. He's incredibly well weighted down on 51 kilos with Reece Jones on board. And if you plug his figure that he ran in the St. Ledger into today's race, Saturday's race with this weight, then he's the winner. So I think he's a great starting point. Future History, I haven't backed yet, but I still might. Zardozi, I've penned. I'm happy to be against. Kay Tempesta, Craig Williams, I thought he was excellent. He's been excellent in both starts, really, carrying 59 kilos. I think he's looking for this extended ground, and he's set to do something here with 54.5 kilos. So it's another one I've backed. We've backed Immediacy in the all-in at $51. Great price. I mean, but what was the expected rating for this horse last start? Backed into $3 favorite.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Bot doesn't want to talk about it. That's sort of fair enough. Is he a genuine stayer? I think we're about to find out. He's by Tarzino. So, yep, he gets in with 50 kilos. So we're on at a great price, and all the scratchings mean he gets into the race. And the other one I've backed, he's another one batter, but Athabascan, I think he can only run well too. This horse ran second in the Sydney Cup behind Circle of Fire at the end of last preparation. He actually sprinted really well behind Buckaroo over the mile first up this prep. And then 2,000 metres last start, sort of just got left for dead in a race that was fast run, which isn't a total surprise. You know, that race was taken out by Elias, and you had Chael Wolf come down the outside, and a lot of these stays were just left a little bit flat-footed second up. So I think he can improve a lot as well, and we're on him at $26. So those are my results. Athabascan, Immediacy, K Tempesta, and Land Legend, but future history I might have to have something on as well. There is a lot of bets there, but we're on at good prices, so we can sort of afford to back them all. All right. Epsom. Yes. Let's get to the Epsom. I might have to get you to read out the market here, bot. My computer has completely crapped itself.
Okay.
Have you got the tab odds there?
I've got the best odds, not the tab odds. This is all the prices put together. So Chael Wolf is equal favorite with Royal Patronage at $6.50. Kovalika is $7. Tom Kitten $10. Major Bill $13. Cry Sayor $17. Jeez, that seems short. Democracy Manifest $18. My Oberon $19. Nugget $20. Denetta Jack $20-1, and longer the rest.
Beautiful.
Chael Wolf has to be favorite, doesn't he?
100%. 100%. Yeah. You know, this horse is dropping back from 2,000 metres last start, so that's a little bit of a query, but he's incredibly well weighted here, down on 54 kilos. If you plug in the rating, he ran two back when winning over the mile. Like, that was electric, and he's got plenty enough speed to be winning an Epsom.
Yeah.
So for mine, he's on top. We've taken $15 for him. But I don't think I've ever been in a better position to tip a 100-1 winner, or at least place getter.
Didn't you do 200? Wasn't it? Didn't you?
I think a few people got on at the 200s. I didn't quite get that. I think Bish got 200-1. But I've got 100-1 and $26 the place for Major Beal, who led them up last start in the Seven Stakes, was only beaten 1.3 by Fangirl. And again, like that rating, I think the Seven Stakes is going to be one of the main form references for this.
Yeah, well, it's a really good fucking horse race, so of course it will.
Yeah. It's obviously only a new race, the Seven Stakes. It's only been around for a little bit, so there isn't much historical data. But ran to 98.9 last start, Major Beal, now gets him with 51.5 kilos. Usually an Epsom is like lots and lots of pace, lots of pressure, but it looks the only main leader in the race, and I think it's going to go forward with Winona Crossan on board.
Royal Merchant will go
forward too. Royal Merchant will go forward as well for sure. But Patronage. I really think Major Beal, don't know if it can win. We're on at 100-1 and $26 a place. I would be surprised if it's not really running well.
It's the wait for age in the handicap, sort of wait for age form in the handicap, you know.
Drops from 59 kilos back to 51.5.
Yeah, like it's perfectly set up. And it was sort of on pace and, on a good track, and how much resistance is there. But, you know, who really gives a shit when you're on at 100-1? So, like, you know, I wouldn't back it now, though. Like, 13 is short enough. But, if you haven't had a bet, I think you just back Chael Wolf because it's the best horse in the race. And it got carried wide last time and big splits there. Like, last time it was more of a battle of speed with Elias, not a test of stamina. And he does have that. He was good behind Riff Rocket, although that was a slowly run derby. So he has lots of speed, and he probably gets a good enough run here. So he gets in with 54 kilos. He's perfectly weighted. He's the best horse in the race, you'd have to say. Maybe. I don't know. Democracy Manifest. Gee, he's been threatening for a long time. Like, I don't follow
Karen
Sydney,
is just
but,
Karen is not the rider for him. Needs Nash.
All he has to do is just fucking get in midfield and, you know, he can win. But, you know, he was good in the Epsom last year, or the whatever. You know, one of them. He was good, and he was good in the Ajax.
Yeah, he ran fifth in the Epsom last year, only beaten a length. But he had 51.5 kilos behind Redina, now gets 55. Like, he's not great in at the weights. Mm. My Oberon, Detonator Jack, they can all run well. We've got a ticket of $34 for my Oberon. So sort of cheering there as well. Detonator Jack comes out of the same race. Royal Patronage, like, he can only run well, and he did step away a little bit slowly, so put up a big rating beating Amelia's Jewel, and then Fangirl started $4. So he deserves to be right thereabouts, and we might end up making him a result as well. But, yeah, probably the two I was happy to take on are Kovalika, drawn barrier 1, and Tom Kitten, drawn barrier 19.
I thought Arctic Glamour looks like a, you know, there's something there. You know, Macarena, yeah. Amelia's Jewel, that... Yeah, you know, she'd probably almost be, well, maybe not now, but what do you think? Amelia's Jewel should be would be close at least to favourite in this, you'd think.
Amelia's Jewel would be $10-15. She'd be half the price of Arctic Glamour.
Yeah. Maybe.
If you get 40-1 Arctic Glamour, then that's probably a bet as well.
Yeah.
The only other one I want to point out is you're probably going to laugh at me, but there was 200-1 sitting around for Galeron, the absolute bottom weight.
I don't mind.
And he's actually been running like good late splits. I mean, ran second to Major Beal as favorite two starts back. I think he was given a sore back last start, like terrible ride, STI. Got home in really, really good splits late. Draws barrier 4, so hopefully can sit more forward for Alicia Collett and gets in on 50 kilos. Like, don't surprised if this horse runs well.
Don't mind it at all.
All right, is that it?
Yeah, I've got one at Mooney Valley.
You're backing a horse in the 3,000 meter race. This is all time sick areas.
Yeah, I am. Oh shit! It's been 310 into 260. Maybe not then.
The 310 was mythical anyway, because that's emergencies in.
There's no emergency. Oh, there is.
Yeah. Oh. Rails out 7, mate. There's only 10 horse fields.
No, they're all 100-1 anyway. Like, how many deductions are coming out of that? Anyway, yeah, good horse, Mukdamil. Not good horse, but like it's smashed this lot, surely. Like, you can make it pretty short.
You haven't given us race number. You've barely given us horse
name. It's a 3,000 meter race at Mooney Valley. It's only fucking one of them.
Race 2, number 4.
Race 2 at Mooney Valley, Mukdamil, number 5. So it looks like a good bet to me. I think this horse has got some ability. Back to Sandown last time, it sort of was wide, and not that I really care about that, but it was sort of had to make a mid-race move, which is the thing I more so care about. It was sort of the pace was honest enough, and it had to push itself or exert more energy than the rest of them, because Jamie Mott, you know, didn't want to go forward early, and then he shut himself, and then he went forward, and the horse was good enough to win regardless. So I think 3,000 meters is only going to suit him. And if he, you know, he just has to not be near last. If he's in the sort of first half in sort of better than midfield, I think he'll win. And 260 is probably even fair. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts odds on.
Beautiful.
There you go. Sick. But here we are. Sick. We're betting on 3,000 meter races.
My Friday fill-ups come later in the program, race 6 in the 9.55. You can probably have something small on two horses. Number 8, Chrisanova. She's just a ball of speed over from WA. I think she'll rocket across and either lead or sit outside lead. And the other one is Flying Season, number 2. Ex-Hong Kong Galloper improved its rating with every start, missed the start last time, and was only just gobbled up late after doing a mid-race move. So I think that costs at the race. Gets a good jock on now in Celine Gaudray and draws well. Race 7, Sparkling. Well, we made this a roughie last time at Flemington. Was backed and was beaten 4 by Moby Dick, but I think you can just forgive that. And if you look back to its previous ratings, then it's right in the game, and they're betting $8, drawn barrier 5 with Bo Mertens on board. So I think that's pretty good shopping for Sparkling race 7. And race 8, I will go with a favourite, number 1, Hill Rip, who has, on peak ratings, does have a bit of dominance over this field. Returned to somewhere near his best last time over 1,400 metres at Flemington. Goes up in trip and back in grade and gets 2 kilos weight relief with Jet Stanley on board. So,
the other thing in that race with Hill Rip is the couple of the other horses in the market have drawn wide and are sort of likely to go back. So, I could get involved Hill Rip, but I think I'll wait for Friday or tomorrow night. I'll wait, but yeah, it does look like one I could back.
So. Yeah, looks his race. But I wouldn't be getting too involved with the rail out 7 meters at the Valley. I went for a walk out there today, punters, and 7 meters, I'll tell you what, it's a long way. I don't think we can fit too many horses on the track. All right, Botter, we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray. My back, best bet, it was going to be Via Sestina, but I'm going to make it Bella Nipotina in the Premier
Stakes. You've gone
from
telling us it's the bet of the spring. It's not even the best bet of the day.
I have gone from doing that, but I am worried a little bit about the rain on race day. That is the only thing that has tempered my confidence. So that is the reason. I thought it was going to be a dry Flemington and,
it probably will
cause barrier 5. Look, if it's dry, then my confidence is still sky high, but if we get 10 mil during the fucking races, then all of a sudden I'm not quite as confident. So I'll make it Bella Nipotina, best bet. I'll go the Hamburger with a lot. I'll lay Giga Kick at $2.40. And my prey, our first 100-1 winner will be Major Beal in the Epsom, hopefully. We're too good for $41 winners now, Bot. That's in the past, last week with Kingswood. Who is Kingswood? It's all about Major Beal this Saturday. 100-1 and $26 a place.
But Berkshire Breeze, my best bet on Saturday.
Just pick one and go with it.
Berkshire. Lofty Arch was the prey and lay, I don't know. Nothing I really want to lay on Saturday at all. Not sure.
Yeah. All right. A quick question time. We'll try and make it quick. Punters and collectors, what Everest snubs will have the best chances of winning the Sydney Stakes this year, and why is it Overpass? That seems like a pretty good play. The Sydney Stakes is going to be a good race this year because you're probably going to get horses like Think About It, Overpass, other good sprinters that don't get an Everest slot. Boom Punting, is Nico alive? Has he gone into hiding because Bot and Buckaroo are taking Australia by storm? He'll be back next week, punters. He'll be back next week. All right, Squiddy Boy, this is a bit of a weird one. Kiss, Marry, Kill. Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, and Fangirl.
Next question.
Well, we're going to have to kill Mr. Brightside. Sorry, boys. Kiss Fangirl, marry Pride of Jenny. Lawson Hamling, do you think First Light can back up and win the Metrop with 50 kilos after his brilliant performance last week?
I'm the wrong person to ask about that.
Yes, he can win. Is he going to be a result for me? No. Mick on the Murray, is the Melbourne Cup still Australia's greatest horse race?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
Oh, it is. By so far, it's not funny.
It's the biggest. It's not the best.
No, it is the best. If you don't feel like you have butterflies in your stomach before the Melbourne Cup every year, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, like, I love the Melbourne
Cup. I do not have that feeling before any other race in the world.
love them all. What about the big dance?
Oh.
If the Og says bring back Walter.
How's fucking the Alan? What is the, what's the race called? The Alan Richards.
The Alan Brown. We didn't even speak about this. I could speak for another 10 minutes. Why would you put $1.5 million on a listed race, 1,400 meters, a week after the Epsom, when the Epsom itself is only worth $1.5 million? NCAP, Gringotts. God. Gringotts was one of the greatest Epsom trials of all time last start, and he just looked like he was going to be well suited to the race, down on the minimum or down on 52 kilos. He's going to the Alan Brown over 1,400 meters. NCAP's going to the Alan Brown over 1,400 meters, and Amenable is going to the Alan Brown over 1,400 meters. I'm sure there will be more when the nominations come out.
What a fucking shit show.
Kent, has a low weight in major handicaps lost some of its importance if you see a high-level weight for age horse getting in below weight for age allocation and a heap of Group 2 / Group 3 horses on 50 or 50 and a half?
Yeah, it's stupid how they've done it. Like, because without a fight, nommed for the Metrop. Mm. And, you know, he was probably never going to go there, and now the rest of the... Yeah. So we're left with, you know, a weird weight scale. They should just fix it. I don't know.
Instagram questions now. Dylan Quilly says, Bell and Impatina hard launch. I didn't know you were together. But good luck to yous.
I didn't realize Allegron was racing. That is my tip in the Metrop.
That's Will's hard launch.
That's my hard launch. No, that's been launched. That has been hard launched for like so far, like so long ago. That's not funny. We've been together for years.
I don't want to crush your feelings a bit too much, but he's in your bio and you're not in his. So those ones. It's a bit awkward. Max Kogler says, Toby wants to know your thoughts on Vauban's chances in the Melbourne Cup.
Who's Toby?
I don't know.
Why is he asking on behalf of someone else?
I think I'm meant to know who this Toby is. But anyway, I'll probably figure it out once I go back.
Started favourite last year, and what was probably a stronger Melbourne Cup than what it'll be this year. So, you know, it's coming over with strong form lines. It was finishing hard behind the best stayer that we've seen for the last few years, probably since Stradivarius and Kyprios. Really nice horse, obviously. Like, you know, came over last year and people were complaining because it was a hurdler. Well, no, it's not just a hurdler. It's a very fast racehorse, and it probably should be Melbourne Cup favourite this year. I don't know what's favourite this year. I don't really even know what's going to be there yet. But, has to probably be favourite, you'd say, just at least based on last year's SB and what it's done overseas since.
I don't have probably a final decision on what I'm going to do on Vauban, and I don't have to just yet. But one thing I will say is there is a difference between running 2,800 metres and 3,200 metres. I'm just going to leave it there. Sam Badalato, Via Sistina last start has a lot of last prep Romantic Warrior about her. Yes, well, Romantic Warrior did fail in the Turnbull and then he came out and won a Cox Plate. So that just goes to show punters, you forgive a good horse one bad run. Tyson Hunter, Will, would you say linebacker smelt the taco food truck nearby?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
Yeah. What about linebacker being sent straight off? You're not going to a Caulfield Guineas, boy. You have misbehaved and you're getting a cut.
That's funny. Well, I'm surprised I didn't go to the Caulfield Guineas just because, like, he's not. I mean, yeah, anyway, fair enough. He's quite well bred too, so interesting they just send him off to be gelded off. One.
I think he's done it twice. He's got fifth leg out twice in a row. So,
okay.
Two strikes and you're out these days. Mm. Anthony Simpson, why is it the most internationals don't have a run before their target race, i.e., Vauban prognosis?
They just train them differently. They get them a lot more fit than we get our horses fit through racing, and that they're able to. I think it's more to do with the training facilities. Like they have like lots, like especially at Newmarket where lots of the UK trainers train. You know, it's essentially a town of just horse racing. It's lots and lots of room. Whereas, you know, where lots of the training, at least it's changing now. It's different to what it was 10 years ago, where lots of the trainers were just training at Caulfield, and there's only so much work you can get into them when you're training amongst, you know, however many other trainers that are there with such little room. So Pakenham and Ballarat have been really good, you know, additions to the industry with from that aspect, because there's lots of room. There's lots and of different things you can... yeah, and Cranbourne, of course. You know, just the, you know, we've seen it with what Kieran Maher's been able to do recently. Like they've been able to get the horses a lot more fit than what they had been in the past. Like, you know, Buck Cummings had a rule where you had to run, the horse had to run, what was it, like 10,000 kilometers, or was it maybe a bit more than that, before yeah. he ran in, that his horse ran into the Melbourne Cup, because, you know, the only way you could really get him fit is through racing.
Yep. Yeah, things have changed these days, but yeah, don't worry about a horse like Prognosis coming here first up, because those Japanese horses, they come here fit as a fiddle. Coops Hill and Bot, would you rather be gelded or only be able to punt from watching on from watching trials?
Gelded. It's pretty much the same thing. You've got 100%. No balls if you've bet off trials.
But what makes you more like linebacker? A good race card, full of bets, or women?
Full of bets.
Full of bets. Stupid question. Come on, Coops. But honestly, would it take you?
He's struggling to read.
Would it take you a place an all-in or what would it take you to place an all-in or a futures bet? You don't do this very often.
An all-in or a futures bet, or an all-in futures bet?
Or futures bet. They're the same thing.
Well, I've done an all up before.
Did one last year. What does it need to beat your assessed price by?
I don't know. Like, remember it was like Caulfield Cup Day or Caulfield Guineas Day last year. Well, maybe it wasn't. It was something else. I took White Bear into that Lindsay Smith thing. They're both like halved in price, and we're both slaughtered. Well, they weren't slaughtered, but anyway, they both lost, and it didn't matter.
That's not an all-in bet. That's just an early bet.
Oh, they said all up.
No. An all-in, like a futures bet. Like, you know, get 20-1 for something 2 weeks away.
Oh, I don't know. Like,
just not your thing.
The last time I did it, yeah, not my thing, but like, last time I did it, Southport Tycoon, we took what price did you take for Southport Tycoon to win the Autumn Stakes?
Oh. No, it was a Guineas Prelude, wasn't it? Or maybe it was the Autumn Stakes. Oh my God. We took like $11. It started even money. Or maybe $8. Been... Like something like, or maybe it was $6. It was something like that. It was each way, it was an each way fucking odds. And no one thought it was going to go there. And then all of a sudden,
$6.
They accepted $6 and it started $1.90, I want to say.
Mm, and, it got beaten off.
Got beaten by the Price Kent horse. What was it called?
I don't even remember. That's the problem. And then the start after it won the Australian Guineas, and here we are now, it's won the fucking Manukau.
Yeah, now it's just... like V, not V8, now it's Haydock 2.0, winning an Australian Guineas and then winning a Manukau.
How good is betting? Like,
how short will Mr. Brightside be next weekend, says Coops Irwin? $1.60 probably.
What's going?
Coco Son.
Oh no.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be a six horse field. Brightside's gonna be $1.50. Speaking of Brightside, his owner, Tyson Hunter. How good was that? Says, Bot, heard Yorkle rated 7 lengths above. Is he the real deal?
He's back him in all the derbies. He's a 5 year old.
Jared Martin says, Will. He says, Will you sign? I don't know if he's referring this to you or just saying, Will you sign? Anyway, I'm going to address it to you anyway. Jared Martin from the Valley, our videographer, says, Will you sign my petition to have a drone/aerial footage at all Melbourne Groupon race meetings? 100%.
Yes.
Why do we not do this for every Melbourne Groupon meeting? Sydney does it, and it looks awesome on Everest Day, on all their big Groupons. We don't have anywhere near enough drone footage. Not good. Not good enough. Sozarek, does broadsiding train on into his four-year-old season if he wins the Cox Plate, given he's with Godolphin? 100%. They won't retire him straight after the Cox Plate. given his Godolphin animo. They raced on for another season at least. I don't see him retiring straight after that. And Jack Larkin says, do you think Max Cogues was stiff not to finish top three in Watsy Resi's best and fairest? Shout out to Maxi. I'm sure he was. I'm sure these are some new listeners. Hopefully they are, who have just tuned in and gone, we're going to ask some random questions and hear our names read out. That's what Racing Previews... 100% we did. That's what Racing Previews is all about. Bringing a community of degenerates together and hopefully backing the occasional winner. But it's been good. It's been grand. Next week we'll have Nico back on the podcast. We're very much looking forward to that. Caulfield Guineas Day. It's just about my favorite day, favorite weekend of the year.
Is that already?
Yes, it is. I'd say actually last weekend is my favorite grand final weekend. Caulfield Guineas Day is right up there. It's definitely in the top three for mine. So very much looking forward to that. We'll review this week. Hopefully we come away with a few winners. And we'll be back here Thursday night with the third man in charge, Nick McLaughlin.
Good things won't make it. Now I got good things. Got you. Hoops and everything. Get back. Never get back to soup. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only, only a part of this when you choose? Is it real? Is it something that you cannot touch? Do you feel? Do you feel that you feel too much? Bloodstains won't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Bloodstains make confusing patterns, they lead me to you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never.